Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
He won the World Cup in December, sending Buenos Aires into rapture. He's won it all at club level with Barcelona, and he moved to Paris Saint-Germain for an eye-watering salary, reportedly around 40 million euro a year or 800,000 euro a week. But the future of Lionel Messi is now also about politics as well as football. Miguel Delaney is chief football writer with The Independent. He's fresh from covering last night's Champions League match in Madrid, and he's on the line now. Good morning, Miguel.
Good morning.
So you were there at the match last night, Real Madrid, Man City semi-final. Pep Guardiola, do you think he'll be the happier of the two managers this morning, looking ahead to what's coming?
Probably, actually, especially because I thought, unlike in last year's semi-final between the two teams, Real Madrid were the better side. And it could have been 2 or 3-0 before De Bruyne scored that goal. The City are pretty well set for the second leg. But I think it's much more 50-50 than people anticipated. Mm-hmm. But people actually went into the game probably expecting City to be the better side, but they weren't. And of course, some of this, given Manchester City's owners, Abu Dhabi, who are rivals of Qatar, allies of Saudi Arabia, touches on a lot of what we're talking about with Messi as well.
I heard a debate this morning about which was the better goal last night.
I would go for the first, I have to say.
Really?
I mean, De Bruyne is brilliant. But Vinicius was it was one of those, he just went wow in the stadium. It wasn't just the finish, which is incredible, but also the build-up to it, the race up the pitch. Yeah, it was remarkable, I have
all
to
right.
say.
But two very high-quality scores. Listen, we want to talk about Lionel Messi, because you wrote this piece recently on the Lionel Messi tug-of-war between Gulf oil states. Now, just give us a sense of the background to what's going on here.
Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, the wider background of the course, that essentially the last 15 years of football history is basically explained by these states that are all autocracies with very questionable human rights records, and all based on, all driven, I suppose, by the political rivalry of the Gulf blockade. So it's basically, it has been Qatar against Saudi Arabia and UAE. I've basically seen football as yet another conduit for power, another, the phrase often, soft power or sports washing. I think at this point, both those phrases are almost a little bit reductive, especially given some of the hard power that we really saw in terms of what, to say, the Qatari World Cup has become. And through that, of course, it's not just football clubs that have become extensions of foreign policy for these states, like Manchester City, like Paris Saint-Germain, like Newcastle United, potentially like Manchester United, given Qatar's interest there, but also tournaments, as we saw with the World Cup, and now players who are kind of jewels in themselves. And I suppose Messi's global fame and ultra popularity has meant that he's been actually a rare person who has been able to kind of straddle this divide for so long. So basically, I mean, in the last 2 years, and it's really remarkably cool, but quite shameless, that he signed for one Qatari sports washing project in Paris Saint-Germain, having left Barcelona in 2021. Because basically they were one of the few clubs that could afford his wages, which are astronomical. While he was there, he signed up to become an ambassador for the Saudi Tourism Authority. Now, that didn't cause issues at the time, but I mean, it's from what you hear, from what I suppose is obvious supposition, the Qataris can't have been too happy with it. And it's now culminated in this situation where last week, Messi thought he had a day off, so was going to use that day off to fulfil his contractual duties with the Saudi Tourism Authority. Paris Saint-Germain lost the night before, so because they lost, they obviously do what football teams do, and brought the players in for training the next morning. Messi obviously couldn't go because he thought he had a day off, and it led to his punishment. And actually, quite a surprising, I suppose, apology video. But all of this feeding into the reality that it's now expected that Messi won't extend his contract at Paris Saint-Germain once it finishes in the summer. Mm-hmm. He has the option of a one-year extension that's on the table. But in the meantime, I mean, from Messi's people claim Messi's father, Jorge, has already told PPSG that he told them a few weeks ago he wasn't going to renew. Although I think that maybe just to leak that would be seen as quite conveniently timed. But In the meantime, he's got an offer from Saudi Arabia worth about €400 million. The biggest contract any footballer has ever had.
So you can probably confidently say, Miguel, that this was about more than him just being missing for that impromptu training session after the PSG loss.
Well, I mean, we put it to people in, you know, Paris Saint-Germain sources, whether the Emir of Qatar had any say in this. Now, they insisted no, but it's impossible not to link this politically. I mean, certainly the undercurrent that it's everything that happens at PSG at this point, and it's especially anytime there's anything to do with the sporting rivalry. I mean, even to zoom out a little bit here, it's why it's such a kind of football's in such a really an interesting but also quite, I would say, concerning moment. Given, say, across Manchester, Qatar succeeding by Manchester United, you could suddenly have this rivalry playing out across one of England's major cities, mm-hmm. and it informs so many issues in football now, and now potentially informs the future of the best player of all time. I mean, it won't, for a lot of people, it won't kind of cloud his legacy, but it will affect it to some degree.
Yeah, you'd wonder to what degree, though. I mean, is he seen as, you know, as you described him as the diamond, you know, the diamond involved in this tug of war, who just happens to be gathering up lots of cash on both sides of this argument? Or do people look at him and say, do you have any qualms about this? Do you have any moral code here?
I mean, as regards who they're going to sign for and who they're going to work for, it feels that hasn't come into consideration. I mean, like the one thing I would almost argue in this is that going to Saudi Arabia to play is probably less of an issue than his initial decision to become an ambassador for the Saudi Tourism Authority. So it's kind of like, and all a follow-on, of course, in signing with Paris Saint-Germain in the first place, which is, I think, probably quite a sad moment, really, that it was only a club like that could afford him. But certainly, as well as that, the Messi camp have earned a reputation for being quite financially driven. I mean, there's an amazing story in the book that came out last year by Josh Robinson and John Clegg, both of the Wall Street Journal, where at one point Messi was talking about his future. This is a few years ago, talking about his future with Barcelona and what was going to happen next and what they could do to make Messi happy. And it was suggested that they could sign his Argentinian teammate, Angel Di Maria from Paris Saint-Germain, who became his teammate once he was there.
Mm-hmm.
Barcelona weren't too keen on that, but they obviously made the inquiries, put in a kind of a low bid, something around 30 million, that didn't succeed. And as the story is told in the book, when the word got back to Jorge Messi that the bid didn't succeed, he asked how much it was. They told him the figure. Said, well, why don't you just give that to Lionel?
Right. More money. So where do you think he's going to end up? I mean, do you think it's feasible that those rumours are true and he could end up back at Barcelona? And at the age of almost 36, he's 36 next month, isn't he? Can he still play at that level? Does he still have another Champions League win in him?
I mean, he thinks he does. And also, I mean, all right, he's not the physical force he was, you know, even 2 years ago. It'd probably be difficult for him to recreate the conditions of the World Cup. Even that's pretty how wet Messi can still be as effective. I mean, if he basically has a team of 10 around him who are willing to run for him all the time,
yeah.
Well, that's not really the way the modern game works so much anymore. But it is possible. It's not what he has at Paris Saint-Germain, given they have so many stars who are indulged. Apparently, from what we hear, his preference is still to play in Europe because of that Champions League. But then also because of the money he's asking, there's not too many viable offers, because no one can justify it while also having that sort of team for him. From what we hear, the Messi camp, like, they haven't signed anything yet, but the offer's on the table. And at the very least, right now, as of Wednesday morning, the direction of travel of it seems to be that he will end up in Saudi Arabia, which, if it's on more money than Cristiano Ronaldo, which is what we hear now, it will be quite a blow to Ronaldo's ego, given that his own time there hasn't gone so well.
Miguel, thank you very much, and I know you're on your way to Milan, so enjoy the derby tonight between Milan and Inter Milan.
Thanks,
another good one in store, no doubt. That's Miguel Delaney. Thank you, Miguel.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.